As I said, the main theme of tonight's presentation will be Zion. The theme around the whole gathering this time is the words of Jesus where he says, "I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." The reason I chose that is because of our economic times. A lot of people are depressed. A lot of people don't feel abundant. Even the ones that have jobs don't. And it's, speaking of jobs, it's funny that during the Depression, everybody looks back and they think that everybody was really broke back then. But actually, one of the reasons that prolonged the Depression was the government insisted that wages remain high. So they kept wages high, and so the various companies didn't hire very many people because they had to pay high wages, so not very many people were hired. And it delayed the recovery because we had like up to 24% unemployment. Now we have close to 10. Can you imagine like 24% unemployment? But the ones that were employed were actually in pretty good shape. They didn't talk about it much because everybody was complaining. And if you had a job and were making good money, you didn't say, "Yeah, well, I got it good." You just don't feel like saying that if your neighbor's desperate, you know. So actually, during the Depression, the 80% that were still working, didn't have it that bad. It was the 20 to 24% that were unemployed. They had a really rough time. Similar to today, a lot of those that are still working are still doing pretty good. They're nervous, you know, but they're doing maybe as good as ever. But you don't hear anybody saying, "Yeah, man, I'm doing great," you know. You almost feel like not saying that because, you know, there's a lot of people out there really hurting, and it just aggravates them to hear somebody saying, "Yeah, I'm doing great," you know. And you think, "Well, I'm not doing so good. You know, I'm about to lose my house, and my wife and kids are all mad at me," and or whatever, you know. And economic problems causes a domino effect of many different problems and relationships and all kinds of things down the road. So, you know, so anyway, I thought I'd make the theme of this around abundance because so many people in this age are thinking lack, and those that want to think abundantly are hesitant to do it because they're almost afraid they're going to offend somebody by even talking about abundance, you know, because everybody right now is thinking lack. They're thinking lack, and what are we headed toward? Lack. And what's the cult rule? Energy follows thought. If we get everybody thinking lack, then what's going to happen? That's where we're going to be headed. If we turn that around and get everybody thinking toward abundance, then where will we be headed? Abundance. Of course, it takes a little common sense in between, which most politicians seem to be lacking 100% on both sides of the fence. But so energy does follow thought. That's probably the most important rule that we could ever learn. We learn one thing in our life, learn that one rule. Energy follows thoughts. Now, somebody else who wasn't really a metaphysician or anything, but I can't remember who said it. Oh, I think it was Lord Byron or somebody from a long time ago. It was a quote I memorized. It said, "Thoughts are things, and a small drop of ink produces that which can make thousands, perhaps millions, think." Something like that. But he came up with a statement, "Thoughts are things." That's several hundred years ago. Are thoughts things? I'll tell you how much of a thing a thought of. Do you know what you are? You are a thought in the mind of God. Are you a thing? Are you something? Right. So what are your thoughts then? If you are a thought in the mind of God, and you are the image of God, and you are one with God, and you think something, what happens to what you think? Will it be some type of a real creation? When you think a thought, an original thought, you are really giving birth to a baby. Think of it that way. Well, you're not giving birth, but you're impregnating divine space with your thought and producing a seed and that's planted in the vastness of space. And that thought that you have thought is an eternal thing. Because since you are a thought that came from the mind of God, and then you think something also, your continuation, you're producing a continuation of the thought of God, which is eternal. And because your thought is a continuation of the mind of God, what you have projected out there still exists somewhere. And what happens when you produce a thought is it's projected out into the system of thoughts, into the divine internet, and it awaits to be born. It awaits the computer to download it somewhere. You know, somewhere it's going to be downloaded and it will materialize. Now, how will it materialize? There are quite a number, well, an innumerable amount of thoughts in circulation. And sometimes one thought conflicts with another thought. And for the thought to be born, it has to come in contact with other thoughts that are somewhat harmonious with it. And when a number of thoughts accumulate and gather together, again, the gathering principle applies, when the thoughts gather together, then in sufficient numbers and power, it gives it power to be born. If it's gathered together with thoughts that are not in the same frequency and harmony, then it has difficulty in being born. And if it is born, it will not have that much power. But the gathering principle applies in almost every possible situation, and even, like I say, as far as our thoughts go. Now, each one of us are a thought projected from the mind of God. And God himself is a giant thought. In other words, God is the thought that created the whole universe. The whole universe is composed of thought that is concretized. And we're part of that universe, and we're one of the divine thoughts. It's interesting to think of. So the natural question people have, well, is there something higher than God? Well, probably. But to us, the divine being that occupies the universe is about as high as we can imagine, so we might as well stop there for right now and just call this God. So we're a thought in his mind. And right now, the problem we have with our society because of the downturn in the economy is people's thoughts are cast downward. Matter of fact, I read an interesting thing a while back, statement, instructions on meditation said, when you meditate, it's best to elevate your eyes when you have them shut, elevate them about, the degrees he mentioned was 23 degrees. I thought, well, that's interesting. That kind of sounds right, because to have a positive meditation and bring in positive thoughts, it's a lot better to have upward thoughts than downward thoughts. So if you're meditating and you're looking down, you might encounter more negativity than if you're meditating and thinking up. Up just feels better than down. It's like rich feels better than poor, or abundance feels better than no abundance. So between the two contrasts, one of the dualities is always more desirable than the other duality. So the important thing in this society is for people to negate a lot of the negativity that's out there. Now, how about you? Have you been running across people who are negative about things? How about your friends?
I'm a real estate broker.
Oh, you're a real estate broker. What kind of...
Okay. Susie.
Well, like I said, I'm a real estate broker. In new home construction, it couldn't be worse than in my field. So,
yeah, you have anybody say, hey, I'm flush with money, find me some real estate?
There are a few investors out there that are looking for really good deals, but not your new home construction. They're looking for foreclosures and short sales and things like that. So
even people looking for foreclosures are kind of thinking negative in a way. You know, I'm looking for a little bit like bottom feeders in a way, you know. Instead of thinking, well, I'm going to build this business that's going to benefit a lot of people and make a bunch of money. You know, that's the way we think in good times. In bad times, you think, well, I'm going to take advantage of somebody else's discomfort and I'm going to make a bunch of money off of it. I mean, you don't really feel that great about making money buying somebody's property where they've been kicked out. Maybe they're homeless now and or in a bad situation. Maybe they moved in with their parents. Yet that's an opportunity for you to make some money. You just, you know, I can't blame people for doing it, but you just don't feel that great about doing it. You know? Whereas if you invent some gadget that's, washes your dishes with real easy or something like that, or washes your dishes better, and you make money off of that, then you feel good about that. You know? So, yeah, that's a problem we have in our society right now. People that are making money, a lot of them are making it from and not really feeling that great about it, you know, unless their attention is only on money by itself. If their attention is only on money, then they'll feel good about, you know, making the money, and they don't care how they made it. There are people like that, but most people like to feel good about how they actually make the money.